So this is work with Jennifer Chase, who's sitting here, and Kostis, whom you know from yesterday.
No.
Sebastian, sorry. And Kostis, who's not here. So it's about some work which was started by the physicist early, actually, in the life of preferential attachment, but then was sort of not picked up for a while by the rigorous community, so we tried to look at it sort of a little bit more precisely. So so what is preferential attachment? Well, probably most of you know, but I will still spend this time and take the risks that Walter will interrupt me and say that this is all nice, but what comes next is irrelevant. But you say that. So many real-world networks, for example, the internet, the World Wide Web, social networks, have several sort of interesting features we have not seen in other sort of engineered networks. There's a power law distribution, the degrees of the vertices, the number of vertices which have degree k, k's like k to the minus some power. You tend to have a small diameter, and that tends to be a first mover advantage if you are sort of, if you're a kid who appears in the middle of the year in a high school, you tend to get much less friends than if you're there at the beginning, for example. So all these you observe in both technological and in social networks. And early on, Barabashi came up with a model to model this preferential attachment. And actually, he was sort of not quite the first. So it turns out there's a lot of work on generating power laws with a paradigm which is very similar here, but not really networks. Then Solar Price in 65 had the idea to sort of apply these power law generation ideas which were around to networks. It's not really that he generates a graph a la preferential attachment, but he sort of writes down a network, and then it's, I think he's, and sort of, I think it's talking about citation networks, and then starts to talk about the degrees, and then argues why the degrees should have power laws. When he does that, he gives up the network aspect, so strictly speaking, doesn't really construct the network, but it's almost there. Barabashi and Albert then did it in 99, explicitly soon thereafter. Golabas, Riordan, George Spencer, and Tusnadi made this rigorous, and then there are sort of various versions, Gutenberg 3, Sulu, and more general setting, rigorous, and other stuff. So what is the paradigm? The paradigm for this preferential attachment is you start at time zero with some graph, okay? In practice, it would be some little bigger graphs, but let's say we start with just a single node and a loop on. And then at time t plus 1, you add a new node, and the new node connects to an old node, where this one is chosen proportional to the current degree of that node. And so these models have sort of several properties, at least those which I mentioned before, they model. There are others which they don't model. And there are sort of many possible criticisms. I will have one of them, but let's sort of look what the properties are. Okay? So they do have a power law degree distribution. You can actually calculate it exactly for the simple model I wrote down. If you have the other models, you just get a ghost-like, but they all go like a power so degree distribution. So you look at the number of vertices which have degree k. You divide by t, and then in the model we start with a single loop. This goes just like that. And this was actually proven rigorously before the model was invented by a guy called Szymanski on, Szymanski. And in the context of recursive trees. The same holds for the diameter. Again, for the simple model I gave you, Boris Pitel did that in 94 before the model was invented by Barabashi to show that actually the model has these properties. Bolabas and Kozen did it sort of for the more general case where you can add more than one edge at a given time. And the first mover advantage is sort of, while you can just do it's probably a Fox theorem, you can easily do the calculation yourself. In that model, you can calculate the expected degree of a vertex which is born at time t0, and it's just a product you can write out, and it goes like t over t0 to the 1/2. So, which means that if you're born earlier, this number here is smaller, so this is larger. So, the earlier born, the higher your sort of expected degree is. So, now comes, and I wanted sort of, I mean, one of the criticisms of these models is that no network can really know the whole world. It turns out that their version of it where you say I have, let's say, nodes arriving in some geometry and they sort of only see nodes within a certain radius and then do preferential attachment, and it turns out that changes nothing. You still get sort of preferential attachment and the power law is the same and so on. So there are local models which do something similar in that. There's, however, another criticism which I want to go to here, which is that in real life, it is actually true if you sort of have teenage kids that have a really hard time if they come in the middle of the school year, they don't get that popular. But it's not quite true, right? I mean, if you sort of like I was when I was in high school and you're interested in math and computers and stuff, you could come as early as you wanted. And so I learned sort of that. At some point, it's important to develop other properties which are called fitness in social networks so that you try to develop some charm, and then maybe even if you come a little bit later, you can sort of beat out the people who still just do computers. So fitness matters definitely in social networks. We know that also in economy. I mean, there's sort of, Word Perfect, which was around a long time before Microsoft Word, and Microsoft Word won at some point. There used to be all kinds of search engine, and nevertheless, now Google is the dominating search engine. So we know that fitness in whatever, I mean, you may not want to call it quality, but you may call it whatever you want to call it. There's some kind of fitness where certain people or certain networks or certain businesses which come later seem to be fitter and manage to sort of overcome this first mover advantage, which is simple preferential attachment models. And actually, Barabashi, with another student at the time, realized that soon after he invented that model, and he came up with a model which is preferential attachment with fitness. And it's pretty much sort of a very natural generalization. So you have some fitness distribution, okay, so your fitness is you draw out of the bag. And when you're born with a certain fitness. So you're born with some fitness, and we start again with one vertex which has some fitness. And now new vertices come one after another. At any time, they get new neighbors according to their degree, but multiplied by the fitness. Okay, so if you have high degree, low fitness, or if low fitness and high degree, those two might balance. And so what, interestingly, Barabashi and Bianconi predicted was that there's something called Bose-Einstein compensation. This will come very soon in a theorem here that it's there, but unless you know already what Bose-Einstein compensation is, you will not really yet see that there is a phase transition related to this effect, but I will explain at some point. Okay, so on this side you actually already have the theorem which states that, but it's sort of implicit, so let's not discuss why there's Bose-Einstein. Let's just look at the result. Okay. We have to make some assumption on the probability distribution. It could be continuous as long as, let's say, it has some continuous density which doesn't go to infinity at the boundaries or something like that. You could be discrete. There could be limit points, all kinds. Here for this talk, let's just make it discrete So the fitness is fi with some probability qi. It could be countable or finite. Okay. And the fitnesses are positive, and the largest fitness, that's the supremum of all fitness, could even be infinite. Okay. It's either some finite number or something. So you have some fitnesses, f0 is the largest fitness. And now you define a parameter lambda 0 by this equation. So why does that make sense? Well, if you put, so this is a monotone function of lambda 0, it goes down as lambda 0 goes up. If lambda 0 is infinity, this guy is definitely 0 because, well, the sum of the qi's is 1, so 1 over lambda 0 goes to 0, so this is 0 at lambda 0 equals infinity. Now, as you go down with lambda 0, you could go down up to the point f0. Maybe at that point this guy is still smaller than 1, then you're in trouble, you can't solve this equation. If it's at that point is larger than 1, then you go back onto the point that's exactly 1. So this defines you lambda 0. If this equation has no solution, then you just take the best you can do, you check the value lambda 0 equals f. And now the theorem says that we know the following. What is mi of t? Well, roughly speaking, mi of t is the number of edges which have fitness fi. So not quite. First of all, if there were no minus 1 here, then this would be twice the number of edges with fitness fi, if you want the number of half edges with fitness fi. And why do we have here minus 1? Well, things are nicer because every vertex is born at some point. Okay? So I'm born with some fitness. So even if my fitness is miserable, there will be always vertices born with that fitness. So we don't want to count that. We only want to count the degree you acquired. So therefore, we have dV minus 1. Okay, so this is somehow your profit, or the money you raked in, or the number of new friendships you sort of made, or maybe you sort of registered with the old times, sort of the root of the World Wide Web. And so there was one link pointing to you, but that doesn't count. We want to only count the links which have something to do with your popularity, the extra links. Okay, so this is the excess degree in addition to the one you start with. And then the theorem says, okay, so this goes to some function. And so in particular, you see that if your fitness is higher, then the number of vertices with that fitness goes up, right? Because this should be green too. So if this fitness goes up, then right here it's monotone, and here's also monotone because it's minus. So why there is a phase transition here? Well, it's related to this, but we will see in a moment.
It's very straightforward.
I will come to that near the very end. So, but before I go to lambda zero and this stuff, let's look a little bit more detailed. So now let's look at the number of vertices with happiness fitness j and degree k. Okay. So now we can also look at this joint distribution. We can look at the proportion of the vertices which have this fitness and degree. And you see there is some parameter which depends on the fitness. And then there is the power law. And the power law has some exponent alpha. And if you look at the exponent alpha, if your fitness goes up, this alpha goes down, which means that fitter vertices have a broader tail, as we would expect. Okay? And whenever I say go to, that means sort of as t goes to infinity with probability 1, probability or whatever your favorite version of conversion is. Usually it doesn't, I mean, sometimes it means expectation, but the expectation is usually the easier part. Okay? And then we also have a theorem which is sort of interesting, which says that if you're born with some fitness f, then actually your degree at time t goes asymptotically like t to the f over lambda 0. I've not written here the dependence on how you depend on your burst time. It's probably T over T0 to this power, but we have to move a little bit.
Sure.
So here's a degree, if you're born at time T0, this probably goes like T over T0 to that power. You have not established that rigorously. It's also not that important anymore because you see there's some constant which depends on T0. But if you're born with a higher fitness, eventually you just grow fast. So it doesn't matter that you came in the middle of the year. You may have to wait a little bit, but after a few years, you sort of, if you are sort of the most charming guy or girl in the class, you will have most friends. So this shows that the first move advantage is sort of not that great if you add fitness. So these two theorems were sort of more or less self-explanatory. The first theorem looks sort of funny. So let's sort of look a little bit more into it. So the theorem we have is the following. So let's look at the following situation. We at some point time t0. Let's say fitness distribution, which sort of works, I don't know where how it works, but let's say it's sort of the case. Okay? And let's say there are countably many fitnesses, so there's points here, and then you get more points. Okay. Probability, so this is QI. You're born, the probability that you get sort of the supremum there is zero. So you're born with some fitness which is large, which is smaller than the largest fitness. Apparently, you don't have yet explored all the details of the technology. You have a pretty good search engine, but it's not quite yet the best that could be. So you are at this point where your largest fitness is some constant B, which is smaller than the maximum possible. Well, then, if you look, what is the sum of the vertices of this degree? So now let's look at how many I was the number. This was the number. This was the sum of our vertices with fitness fi. This quantity. So this is sort of the excess gain of the vertices with fitness fi. And this is sort of the excess gain of all vertices which have fitness at most b. But since b is the maximum, this is just the excess gain of everybody. So this is just the sum of all vertices of degree minus 1. If there were no minus 1 here, this would be the sum of the degrees, which is twice the number of edges. The way I've constructed the model, twice the number of edges is just the number of vertices. And now the sum twice the number of vertices, and now you subtract 1, so this happens to be exactly the number of vertices, so this is exactly 1. Okay? So now as time goes on, what happens? Well, there will be vertices born which are fitter. Okay, you are pretty fit, but nevertheless, somebody will come along who has pushed the technology a little faster. They have better fitness. Okay? So now if we look at the fraction of income market share up to fitness B, you will lose some to these vertices which have higher fitness. Okay, so this will not be 1, it will be a little bit less. As time goes to infinity, it will be some excess. Okay. Now we would expect that if you get nearer and nearer to the threshold fitness, the market share you should lose is less and less.
Okay. Now, the point is that that may sometimes not happen.
So if this does not happen, so if this excess doesn't go to zero as b goes to the supremum, then you have the following situation. No matter how near to the best fitness you start, eventually your stock will fall because you're losing market share and nobody wins. Okay. So,
this.
There's a question.
Yeah. First send time to infinity, and then send B to C.
B to F0.
B to the FC.
And then even at times of infinity,
no one believes Bose-Einstein condensation in the first one. No.
That's what I think. So that sounds very strange, right? It's some very strange effect. And, well, our theorem, which you didn't object to at the time, actually will imply that. Why? Well, so what is this delta B? Well, it's 1 minus, I gave you a formula for the limit. This is the formula for the limit. You sum over all fitnesses which are smaller or equal than FB. So you write that out. And so, if now B goes to F0, you get 1 minus this sum. Okay? Now remember, one of the definitions of lambda 0 was that this sum should be equal to 1. But sometimes you just can't do this. Okay? So if there is no solution to this equation, then actually we said, well, choose lambda 0 equals to F0. And if there's no solution to this equation, what does that mean? Well, that's equivalent to this sum being smaller than 1. And now since lambda 0 is F0, this is just this sum. No, I think it's fine.
Greater than 0.
This is greater than 0, yes.
Zero.
So first of all, let me make this zero. Now, this is the sum of all possible j's. So now it depends, if you had an atom at the end, you're right, this would be.
No, it's not zero. He's wondering whether j starts at zero or one.
Oh, at one. But at I mean, one. At all possible zeros.
But
it doesn't matter.
Zero was defined to be the supremum.
F0
right?
Is the supremum.
F0 was defined to be the supremum.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Okay, so I should make F0 F infinity, but I will not go, otherwise I lose all my popularity with Jennifer, and that I don't want. In addition to being a collaborator, I'm married to her, so I care about my popularity. So we have to leave the F0s.
And there's missing math.
Well, so, right. So now the question is, right, if we look at distributions, they could look like this, where you have sort of quite a bit of mass near F0. Well, since this has a pole at F0, assume this were an integral, then we will get that this integral is infinity. This is sort of going to zero slow enough. On the other hand, if it looks like that, then, and there's enough mass on this side here, then this sum will be much larger than one. And so then we have a solution, and then this doesn't happen. So in the situation where you have sort of very thin tails, where there is sort of, so you are not, if you choose some random fitness, you're not that likely to get very near here. Then there is sort of more space for future guys to come here. And no matter how near you are, there's still always space for future guys who come to beat you out in such a way that actually even in the limit, there's some sort of stuff left. So now the question is, do you want to first learn the idea of why we have this funny Große Einstein condensation, or do you want to first learn the idea of the regular? Maybe I should do first the Große Einstein. Okay, so what is the heuristic? Okay, so now I will sort of cheat cheat in many places, but then I want you to give you some heuristic. So we look at the number of the expected number of half edges with fitness fj. Okay, so if I divide an edge in half, then each half edge has a single endpoint, and that endpoint has some fitness, and I just count how many. Now, let's look at how this expected number evolves in time. Well, whatever we have at the time step before we came. And now, can we gain market share? Well, first of all, there's preferential attachment with fitness. So this is just the probability that J gets another half edge. And then we also could be born with fitness. So this is the two contributions. Now, I'm cheating here a little bit because this was the expected number, so this is expectation here, this is expectation here, that's all fine. The expected number of vertices which have fitness j in one step is qj. But here I said that the expectation of the quotient is the quotient of the expectation, that's not quite rigorous, but this is a large number, and there's a law of large numbers. It actually turns out that actually what the answer we get here will be exactly the right answer. And there's enough concentration that the error is. Okay? So now let's make an ansatz. Let's say that we replace this mi of t by an asymptotic value which we assume behaves like some function of I times the time. Okay. So then what happens? Well, here sort of the time cancels out and we get just j. Here we get this divided by that. The time again cancels out, so I get mi nu j divided by the sum. And this one is what it is. Okay. And now you just solve, you insert these two, you get that the sum of nu j equals 2. That sort of makes a lot of sense because this is the number of half edges, which is twice the number of edges, which is twice the number of vertices, so that's good. And then you get the formula I gave you. And you may not quite recognize it because it looks a little different. Well, if you really remember the theorem, you only had this formula. But that comes from the fact that in the theorem I only counted the excess edges. And here I included this term because in order to describe the dynamics, I have to put it in. So this is the theorem because the theorem makes assertions about this quantity. And here the derivation gives you this. So this is very nice. Now you say that we have here that the sum should be 2. If you insert that, then you will see that you get this condition. Okay, so far actually this looks bad because now we don't have both of these. Well, there is something is fishy though, because you see the only way we could get this condition is if we move maybe lambda at f0 this was smaller than. So we have to move lambda below the highest value, at which point some of these guys become negative, and you get negative probability. So something is, at some point, well, this was not rigorous, right? So now I have to sort of think a little bit more and see where did I make a mistake? So now we do the same thing as before, but we are just a tiny bit less negative. So I start with the same formula. Okay, there is nothing wrong with it. No, actually, it's not the concentration which is the problem. We still, but now I correct it. So what is the correction here? Well, I allow for the following fact. So this sum for a finite time is just sort of a finite sum, probably. So it's So there's nothing sort of fancy going on. But as I go to the limit, we don't know that we have what is called certain probability, that if some probability disappears to infinity, tightness, right? So maybe there's no tightness. Maybe actually the limit doesn't quite interchange, and I lose some probability. So I allow for that. So I say, if you replace this finite sum in the limit by this infinite sum, it could be that this infinite sum is not tight, and you get some extra fraction, which we put in. Okay, so we allow for this probability disappearing to infinity. I don't say it's non-zero. It could be zero, okay, but I just allow for it. And in a similar way, this sum might, again, there might not be tight. So what would be the contribution? Well, since we say this belongs, since this sum is finite, let's say the only limit point sits here at the end, the only place where something can happen is at the end. So therefore, the contribution from this guy will be delta times f0, where this was f minus. Okay? So this looks like sort of maybe more reasonable assumption. Now we insert that. Okay, well, I need to play hide, hide, hide. So now what you see is, so, well, this equation, and if I call this lambda, we still have the same equation for this, except that the meaning of lambda is slightly different. It now has this term. And the sum of all the new j's is now actually 2 minus delta, because we have to bring in the sum of the new j. This guy will behave like 2t, and so we get delta 2t minus delta t, so the sum of new j is this. Okay? So these two terms come from here. And now you do the same as before. You get sort of, you solve this, you get 2 minus delta is the sum of the j's. This is this. Then you insert this, and you get lambda minus f0 delta over delta plus 1, because the sum of the qj's is 1. So you get the equation delta equals delta times f0 over lambda. Okay. And now we are actually there, because now, if we have this equation, there are two possible solutions. Either delta is zero, then we're in the case before you get this equation. So maybe it's consistent, but maybe it's not consistent. Maybe this can't be achieved. Okay? Then delta can't be zero, then f0 must be lambda. So again, delta is positive, f0 equals lambda, and then this 1 minus delta will appear here, and this sum is smaller than 1. So you see it's again consistent. Either the sum is 1 and then delta is 0, or the sum is smaller than 1, and then delta, this sum is smaller than 1, and then delta is positive. And since either delta is 0 or positive, this finishes. Okay? So what happens is really that there's some non-tightness. The sum of all the degrees up to some fitness near to the boundary may not converge to the sum of all edges. There may be sort of, and so what happens is as your graph grows and grows and grows, there will be always sort of a certain proportion which disappears to infinity. So you go near to your boundary, but at some point there will be a fraction which goes above that boundary, and that fraction will be independent on, no matter how near you go to the boundary, there's always some people coming along who are just more charming than you, have a better business model. Okay, so don't rest on your laurels even if you're right. But okay, so let me just put one slide for the proof strategy. So how will one want to prove these things? Well, Fourier answers sort of the word. So what do? You say, I come up with an Earl model. What are my balls in the Earl model? The balls are these half edges. Okay? So, for example, if I have fitness fi and have degree 3, then there will be 3 half edges with fitness fi. So I will put sort of in the box of 3 and my fi, which is somewhere here. There I will put 3 balls. Okay? So this way I can clearly describe the current state of system. And now if a new ball comes, it will just attach proportional to these numbers. Well,
multiplied by fj. So you get, for each row here, you get a different rate of acquiring the balls. So you get this funny two-dimensional system of polyurns. And now, once you know polyurns, but polyurns are very similar to branching processes, so this is a multi-type branching process where the type is two-dimensional. And in theory, we know how to solve it. You just write down an eigenvalue equation, find the largest eigenvalue, you check that your matrix is irreducible or has whatever the right conditions are. Luckily, there's a paper by Janssen from 2004, which is more general than you ever would need. It's more general than we need. And so as long as you have a finite number of currents, you can use this theorem. The only thing you have to do, you have to calculate the maximum eigenvalue of a system of equations which is two-dimensional. So that, in general, sounds like hopeless. But luckily, after this heuristic I've developed there for you, it turns out that you can feed that in and sort of guess what the largest eigenvalue is. You are lucky in doing this. Okay. So then you have to deal with the case if this is not finite. Then the theorem doesn't apply, luckily, because if it applied, then you would get this contradiction, which I have. So Bose-Einstein would sort of not be there if the theorem applied. So what do you do? Well, first of all, the degrees are in principle going to infinity. Now we can just put here all balls which have degree larger than k, some k naught, okay, into this place. So, and then this fitness at 1, f2, and so on. While it turns out, due to this way, the preferential tension model is this is, makes no change, it's sort of the same process. You can write down the exact process, which is the other one. You only get information up to that k, but all our limits are weak limits, so you just put k, whatever your favorite number is, 10 million, and then you get the convergence for all degrees up to 10. So that's no problem. This is a little bit more of a problem, and there are. And in this problem is hidden here with Einstein. If you don't have a finite number of witnesses, you will have to couple sort of your model to a finite model with fitnesses. And essentially what you do is the following. You say, okay, I want to think now what happens with this Bose-Einstein convention. So I cut at some point, okay, now let's go for a bigger picture so you can see what's happening. Okay, so we cut somewhere here. Now there are all these points here. And now I take two possible couplings. One is where I say I replace this fitness by zero. Every model beyond this threshold, which is very near to here, has fitness. The other one, I put this. Now, why are these nice couplings? Well, if I look at the vertices which sit here, if I've put the fitness here to zero, that means I've removed all the charming guys from the class. So now I'm poorly sitting here, and I was very happy because I was sort of average. But now I'm even more happy because I don't have competition with these guys anymore. So my degree will be. On the other hand, if I replace all these guys by this fitness, I'm unlucky because suddenly everybody above the threshold has higher fitness. So it turns out that you can define a coupling such that this remains true for all time. So actually, your model lies between the two cases. And effectively, since this is flat here, this corresponds to, now I can think, well, if I have many fitness classes, but they all have the same fitness, I may as well throw them into one. So effectively, I replace, in one case, this tail by a little new atom here, and the other case by a little new atom here. And then if you calculate the lambda 0 in one case, it will lie somewhere in here, and somewhere it will lie in here. And as you move this to there, the lambda 0 will go to this f max. And then either when you calculate there's something left or not for this spin, and if there's something left, that will be the Bose-Einstein condensate. If there's nothing left, there's nothing.